Hello, this is your Safe Haven podcast, and I'm your host today, Steve McNamara. Today's subject is going to be campus sexual assault. You know, this time of year, many families are experiencing the excitement and the anxiety of their kids beginning a new journey, college. Inevitably, the questions of their children's personal safety comes to mind any number of times. We have worked to prepare our children for college, but what are the colleges across Pennsylvania and the country doing to help keep our kids safe while they're away from home? Today we have with us Sharon McNamara, the Educational Outreach Specialist with Your Safe Haven. Sharon, welcome.
Hi, Steve. I'm happy to be with you today. You know, you are correct. Many parents of high school seniors and even some current college kids have questions that I hope to answer here today. Sadly, that we do need to remember that 1 in 5 women and 1 in 16 men are sexually assaulted while in college, and 90% of those assaults go unreported. Colleges and universities are in a unique position to create a campus culture that's safe for everyone, for the students, for the faculty and the staff, everyone. You know, research shows us that campuses and communities need to go beyond the one-time awareness event in order to change knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs of the college, university, and of the community. There are many pieces that must come together in order to create this comprehensive approach to ending sexual violence. There are awareness, reduce risk, response, and prevention are all important pieces of the puzzle. Let's look first at awareness. Awareness is meant to increase an understanding of what sexual assault is. Awareness activities can also inform students and staff what resources are available to them within their community versus within their college or university community. Risk reduction approach helps individuals identify the warning signs and potentially learn some safety tips. Response occurs following a sexual assault and works to lessen the impact of the trauma on the survivors. And when we say survivors, we mean the actual survivor and then their family members, because having a child or a loved one who is sexually assaulted is a traumatic event. Prevention then goes beyond raising awareness and reducing the risk. It encourages campus communities in creating long-term solutions to this social issue. Effective prevention strategies are addressing the root causes and the social norms that allow the sexual violence to exist in the first place. To prevent sexual violence, it's necessary to change the culture in which sexual violence is allowed to happen.
Wow, that's a real eye-opener, Sharon. I think there's a lot of people out there who are unaware of the gravity of the situation. Tell me, how can parents or family members learn more about what a campus is doing to prevent sexual assault and to support victims?
There are many places that parents or students make contact to learn about a campus's resources for prevention and support. One of the places would be the campus police, student affairs, the Office of Resident Life. These are all good places to start. Additionally, some universities have counseling centers, and they may be able to discuss with the students options or programs they have in place. Parents and students should know that the CLEARI Act requires that universities and colleges that receive federal financial aid has to disclose information about crime on or around the campus. That includes incidences of sexual assault. Keep in that mind that most students do not disclose sexual assault, so the numbers may be low. Consistent reports of 0 sexual assaults on campus should raise questions about climate And this is not necessarily a marker of how a campus is dealing with the issue of sexual assault. It's important to ask if the university requires student attendance at prevention or awareness programs during the orientation or other key times in the school year. Express interest in sexual violence prevention education and programs on campus. Additionally, you may want to ask how campus supports student groups involved in activism and prevention.
Thanks for that, Sharon. Where can someone review the policies and procedures that are used by a university to respond to a report of sexual assault?
Steve, it's important to understand there's a difference between reporting to the police and an on-campus discipline action. And you may want to ask the campus that your child is interested in about the process for both options. The criminal justice system is intended to vindicate the rights of the state. So reporting to the police to initiate a criminal complaint can set the whole system in motion. Campus discipline boards are utilized as part of the civil rights to promote gender equality in education as guaranteed under the Title IX under the Civil Rights Act. These two systems may be used individually, jointly, or not at all. Campus procedures are confidential. It creates no public record. The process is considered an educational tool. The repercussions focused on fixing the harm done to the campus and the victim. In addition, it's believed that the accused should learn from the situation and understand why they were wrong. There can be suspensions or expulsions as punishment because creating a safe environment is the university's biggest concern. A high number of the reported sexual assaults may indicate that the university is taking the issue of sexual assault seriously. Most campus victims do not report sexual assault at all, largely due to the distrust in how they will be treated by the community, by their friends, by the family, by peers, by professors, by the university as a whole. A higher number of reported sexual assaults may be an indicator that the university has a culture that the students can trust. So if you're looking at a low reporting rating, that may indicate that sexual assault may not be a priority to the university. To get perspective, it can be helpful to look at the reporting rate of the campus in the last 5 years.
Sharon, how can a parent find out what sexual assault training is provided to a college's faculty and staff, including residence assistants?
The easiest way to find out is to simply ask. Some universities are invested in training all their faculty and staff and their RAs about their legal responsibilities, how to appropriately respond to a student who discloses they have experienced sexual violence, and where to refer them for support. Some campuses have information to help guide the response of staff and others if the student discloses an assault. Most campus faculty and staff do not have the ability to promise confidentiality to the victim and should let the victim know if they are required to share any information about the assault. Faculty who are certified counselors or medical professionals should be able to maintain confidential communication. Staff and volunteers from rape crisis centers and PA are also able to keep all information confidential and private, even when subpoenaed.
Okay, so should an incident occur, what counseling or services are available to a victim of sexual assault, both on and off the campus?
Steve, that is an excellent question. Some universities offer individual counseling or group counseling for victims. To find out more about these services, you can contact the campus counseling center, as well as the head of student affairs, who can direct you to the right services. In Pennsylvania, 50 rape crisis centers provide services to victims in all 67 counties. Students are welcome to use these confidential off-campus services. And you may want to go to the website www.pcar.org/helpinpa to find the Rape Crisis Center near the college or university. And there is no referral necessary. Some universities work closely with their local rape crisis centers, while others offer support through campus services. The expertise of the Rape Crisis Center in responding to victims and teaching prevention is invaluable to the campus community. You may want to ask the university if they have a formal memorandum of understanding or other type of agreement with their local Rape Crisis Center. Rape Crisis Centers offers free and confidential crisis counseling, a 24-hour-a-day hotline to provide support and information and services to the victim's family, friends, and partners. Advocates are available to accompany victims to the hospital, the police station, and to court. Rape Crisis Centers can also provide information and referrals to services in the area and provide prevention education programs to schools, organizations, and other public groups. Ask if the university has that memorandum of understanding, and do they also have a memorandum of understanding with the local police department that outlines how they will work together. Employees and volunteers at the Pennsylvania Rape Crisis Centers are able to keep all communications with the victims confidential and private, even when they are subpoenaed. This is true for only certain members of the staff at a university. This may be very reassuring to a victim who has concerns about controlling his or her story. It's recommended that universities make all options for support, both on and off campuses, available to the students. And it's important that the parents know the protocol that the university has in place in the event of a sexual assault.
Wow, that's some good information and a lot to digest. Tell me, can you make any other recommendations as to available resources?
Sure, there are plenty of resources out there. The easiest thing would be for the listener to go to www.yoursafehaven.org and to our blog page. On our blog page, I will list a few of the resources that can help across Pennsylvania, as well as some national resources that individuals can use. And as always, if anyone has any questions, they can contact Your Safe Haven at 814-623-7664.
Sharon, thank you so much for being here. Tune in next month for another Your Safe Haven podcast. This is Steve McNamara. Till next time.